One sunny morning in the spring of 1878, the steamship Ingrid Linder, the pride of the Anglo-Baltic shipping line, vanished in the Baltic Sea. She had been carrying a cargo of machine parts and a passenger or two from Hamburg to Riga. The voyage had been uneventful. The ship was only 2 years old, well-found and seaworthy, and the weather was gentle. A day out from Hamburg, she was sighted by a schooner plying in the opposite direction. They exchanged signals. A bark in the same part of the sea would have seen her 2 hours later if the Ingrid Linder had kept to her course. But the bark saw nothing. She vanished so swiftly and so completely that journalists of the time scented something as delicious as the lost continent of Atlantis, or the Mary Celeste, or the Flying Dutchman. They got hold of the fact that the chairman of the Anglo-Baltic line and his wife and daughter were on board, and filled the papers with accounts of how it was the little girl's first voyage, that on the contrary, she wasn't a little girl, but a young lady of 18 with a mysterious disease, that there was a curse on the ship, laid by a former sailor, that the cargo consisted of a deadly mixture of explosives and alcohol, that in the captain's cabin there was a fetish idol from the Congo, which he had stolen from an African tribe, that in that part of the sea there was a gigantic and unpredictable whirlpool, which appeared without warning and sucked ships down into a monstrous cavern at the centre of the earth, and so on and so on. The story became quite famous. It was resurrected occasionally by writers who specialised in books with titles like Strange Horrors of the Deep. But without facts, even the most inventive journalism peters out in the end, and there were no facts at all in this case. Just a ship, which had been there 1 minute and vanished the next, and the sunshine and the empty sea. One cold morning a few months afterwards, an old lady knocked on the door of an office in the financial heart of London. Painted on the door were the words S. Lockhart, financial consultant. After a moment, a voice, a female voice, called out, "Come in," and the old lady entered the room. S. Lockhart, the S stood for Sally, stood up behind her cluttered desk. She was a remarkably pretty young woman of 22 or so, with blonde hair and deep brown eyes. The old lady took one step into the room and then hesitated, because standing on the hearth in front of the coal fire was the biggest dog she had ever seen, as black as night, and to judge from its shape, a mixture of bloodhound, Great Dane, and werewolf. "Down, Shaka," said Sally Lockhart, and the great beast sat peacefully. Its head still came up to her waist. "It's Miss Walsh, isn't it? How do you do?" The old lady shook the hand she held out. "Not altogether well," she said. "Oh, I'm sorry," said Sally. "Please, sit down." She cleared some papers off a chair, and they sat on either side of the fire. The dog lay down and put its head on its paws. "If I remember correctly, I'll get the file in a minute, I helped you with some investments last year," Sally said. "You had £3,000, isn't that right? And I advised you to go for shipping." "I wish you had not," said Miss Walsh. "I bought shares in a company called Anglo-Baltic, on your recommendation. Perhaps you remember?" Sally's eyes widened. Miss Walsh, who'd taught geography to hundreds of girls before she retired, and who was a shrewd judge, knew that look well. It was the expression of someone who's made a bad mistake and has just realised it, and is going to face the consequences without ducking. "The Ingrid Linder," said Sally. "Of course. And wasn't there a steamship that sank as well? I remember reading about it in the Times. Oh, dear." She got up and took a large book of newspaper clippings from the shelf behind her. While she leafed through it, Miss Walsh folded her hands in her lap and looked around the room. It was neat and clean, though the furniture was threadbare and the carpet worn. There was a cheerful fire in the hearth and a kettle hissing beside it.